Chapter 16, Bucks First. The village where the fisherman had taken Buck and his fellow castaways offered few choices for employment. Buck did not want to venture back out to sea, even as a deckhand on a small fishing boat. This vast ocean's dark waters had tried to kill him, and it was not going to get a second opportunity to do so. The villagers gave them some food and shelter for a few days, but made it plain from the start that these strangers would have to be on their way as soon as they recovered their strength. These poor folks were just barely getting by themselves and could not afford to extend their hospitality for long. An elder told Buck that a larger settlement was 8 miles inland. It was San Luis Obispo, located midway between San Francisco and Los Angeles. He assured Buck and the others that from there they could arrange to get back to the railroad. Of Buck's fellow survivors, two were seamen from the ship's crew, Eli White and Paul Walters. Two were Christian missionaries, Brother Curtis and Brother Joseph, going to convert the natives on some island. The remaining three were a rich Eastern family. The father, James R. Warner, was in his late 50s and rather portly. The mother, Brenda Sue Warner, was much younger and incredibly attractive. Their 10-year-old daughter, Allison, completed this family. Buck had not met them on the ship. The rich stayed in upper staterooms, while he shared a cheaper cabin below deck with some foreigner. Buck thought the man was German, but he might have been French. Buck could not understand anything this foreigner said, nor could he understand Buck. This total lack of communication would have made for a boring trip had their journey not been cut short. Mr. Warner was the last to regain his strength for the walk to San Luis Obispo. His daughter was out of bed early the next morning, playing with the village children as though she had not just had a near-death experience. Buck's youth had aided his speedier recovery as well. He spent several hours sitting on the small dock answering Allison's many questions as to his dress, age, and was he a real cowboy. Buck answered most of her questions truthfully, but some he simply could not. Not trusting the ship's crew, Mr. Warner kept nearly all his trip money in the money belt under his shirt, a well-guarded secret. He did remove enough cash to buy a donkey and cart from one of the locals, along with some provisions, cooking utensils, and 8 old blankets. The cart was only big enough to transport the supplies, his wife and child. The rest of the party had to walk. Buck's inventory of his present personal wealth consisted of 7 steel-damp dollars and some change. He offered to help pay for some of the food, but Mr. Warner insisted on paying for everything. In exchange for his rations, Mr. Warner placed Buck in charge of the donkey. It was obvious to him that Buck knew livestock. After all, anyone could tell by Buck's dress that he was apparently a cowboy. The group packed the cart just before sunup and started their trek inland. This little band was a strange cross-section of humanity. Young, old, rich, poor, sinners, saints, sailors, and one young pretend cowboy. Buck's boots had oversized heels that kept them from slipping out of the stirrups. His footwear was designed for riding, not long walks over uneven ground. They quickly caused his feet to blister. After a mile or so, he was glad Mr. Warner had to ask for frequent breaks to catch his breath. These stops gave Buck the opportunity to slip his boots off and rest his tired feet. He thought about walking barefoot, but he needed the extra height his boots offered to keep his real age concealed. The group only made 3 miles before Mr. Warner had to stop for the day. The redness of his face made Buck question if this fat old man was going to survive this trip at all. His obesity was a huge burden to bear. Buck wondered why Mrs. Warner did not offer to trade places with her husband. Buck later realized that this was a loveless marriage, at least on the wife's part. She cared little about Mr. Warner's discomfort. He, on the other hand, obviously cherished her. His money had bought her body, but he could not buy her love. As the group sat around the campfire, it was plain to see that she could hardly stand her husband. He fretted over her as if she were a child. He asked repeatedly if she needed anything to make her more comfortable. Her replies were short, bitter, and hurtful. It was as though she blamed him for the ship sinking and for her present discomfort. Buck knew little of how married folks were supposed to act, but this was not normal behavior if you cared at all for someone. Her actions reminded him of Jesse's treatment of his own mother. It was really none of his business, yet their close quarters made it all but impossible to ignore. Blinded by his love for his tormentor, Mr. Warner apparently could not see what was painfully obvious to those around him. Each time Mrs. Warner scolded him for her present state of discomfort, he responded with a sincere apology and downcast eyes. A servant would have expected better treatment. As the group made its way towards their destination, Buck started to resent Mrs. Warner because of the way she treated her husband. Nevertheless, something made it near impossible for him to keep his eyes off of her. Strange new feelings were developing inside Buck. He was starting to become a man. He had to force himself to keep his eyes on the trail ahead. Watching Mrs. Warner's breast bounce as the cart dropped in and out of the ruts in the road caused Buck to stumble and almost fall several times. One thing that helped take his mind off Mrs. Warner was the frequent visits from Allison. She would become bored with the cart ride and would jump down to walk alongside Buck as he led the donkey. Her steady stream of questions was a welcome relief from his lustful thoughts about her mother. Buck was near Allison's age, so talking to her came easy for him. Allison was fixated on the life of a cowboy and expressed the fact that had she been born a boy, that would have been her choice of occupations. Not that working was ever going to be in her future. As the only heir, she would inherit all her parents' wealth. About the only work she might encounter would be dressing for a night on the town or a fancy dinner party in her mansion. Her soft hands would never know a callus, or her brow the sweat of an honest day's labor. Mr. Warner had prospered selling uniforms to the Union Army during the Civil War. His small garment factory had won a big government contract that allowed him to expand his operation. After the war, he sold the factory and had enough money to retire comfortably. To impress his beautiful young wife, he had planned a year-long trip around the world. The factory had taken nearly all of his time, and he sensed that she was drifting away from him. This was a grand gesture on his part, but Mrs. Warner had married him only for his money. Having his child assured her that he would take care of her, no matter how badly she treated him. Mrs. Warner had taken several young lovers while her husband was preoccupied with his factory and making money. She fulfilled her wifely duties at a bare minimum, making any excuse to avoid her husband's sexual advances. Now she was eyeing this strong young man that led the donkey, wondering what sort of lover he would be. After the evening meal, everyone settled under their thin blankets for some much-needed rest. Mr. Warner was the first to start snoring, joined shortly by the rest of the little band. Buck thought that he was the only one awake until he turned toward the fire and saw Mrs. Warner on the other side of its warm glow. She was on her side with her back toward her family. Buck assumed she was simply watching the flames until her eyes locked onto his. Her intense stare made him feel uncomfortable. Then she pulled her blanket slightly off her soft shoulder, revealing the top of her undergarment. Knowing she now had the young man's undivided attention, she slowly exposed one of her supple breasts and then licked her lip seductively. The effect of her performance became immediately obvious through Buckstan Blanken. She knew she had him. Motioning into the darkness with her eyes, she slipped from under her blanket and then walked toward a small stand of pines just out of firelight. Buck picked up his blanket and followed without question. At this state of arousal, he threw all caution to the wind. Once they were a safe distance, she stopped, turned toward him, and then dropped her nightgown to the ground. In the moonlight, she had the look of a Greek marble statue. Everything about her was perfect. In the dim light, Buck's heart raced as he devoured her with his eyes. Mrs. Warner took the blanket from his hands and spread it on the ground. She never uttered a word, just nodded for him to join her. He hesitated for a moment, unsure if this was the right thing to be doing with another man's wife. His lust, however, quickly won this battle with his conscience. After undressing him with a few quick, skillful moves, the two of them locked in an embrace that was heart-stopping. Her warm body molded itself into his, and they became one being. She then skillfully led Buck into manhood. His first performance was over much too soon. The newness of this carnal experience had caught him completely off guard. With his lust abated somewhat, Buck regained control of his body and did much better the second go-around. As with riding a horse for the first time, he soon found Mrs. Warner's rhythm and matched her pace, thrust for thrust. This time they both slipped over the edge into oblivion at the same time. Without saying a word, Mrs. Warner dressed, then calmly walked back to her place by the fire and went to sleep as if nothing had happened. Buck, on the other hand, stayed there in the darkness, mentally replaying their encounter until the first golden rays of sunlight raced across the morning sky. The aroma of her perfume and their mingled sweat still lingered on his skin. It was intoxicating.